When I was pregnant with my first daughter, I remember the sea of advice that would flood into my ears on a daily basis. Make sure you have this type of diaper. Make sure the amount of clothes you have enough in this size and this size. Make sure, make sure, make sure. And the advice helped. It definitely helped me. I did have diapers that everyone recommended, and I did have clothes in every size, and the nursery was set up in a way that was filled with advice from every single person that stared at my stomach for 9 months. But there was another piece of advice I would get too, and I don't know if I would call it advice so much as I would call it mothers telling mothers what to expect. And they would say, when she's born, you're gonna stare at her and fall madly in love. The moment the doctor hands you your baby, it's going to be the best feeling on earth. And I thought this sounded cool. I was ready for that. I know what love feels like. I know what it feels like to love something immensely. So, when my daughter was born, the doctor handed her to me. And she was cute, and she was tiny. And I created her, but I didn't feel madly in love. In fact, I didn't really feel anything. I was tired. I was exhausted and drained, and I had no idea what I was doing. And I did feel something. I felt tremendous guilt, because for 9 months, I had people telling me that this is how I was going to feel the minute she came. And that isn't how I felt. And so I assumed I was doing it wrong. I assumed there was something wrong with me as a mother. Of course, 16 years later, the child is the love of my life. But I had to go through the motions on my own. I had to find my own way as a mother. And it wasn't that those women were doing me a disservice. They weren't. In fact, maybe some of them did feel madly in love with their child the day they were born. But I didn't. And that's okay. And I've shared that story with other mothers I know. And that's helped them. So in this podcast today, we're talking about something similar. It's not mother guilt, but it's teacher guilt. It's that feeling that, wait a minute, everyone told me that this was the best job ever. Everyone told me I would be madly in love with my students. And there's times I don't feel like that. This episode today is dedicated for all of you that know it's not a utopian job. There are days that are hard. There are days that outright suck. And the more we're honest about that, the more we talk about that, this job becomes a lot easier to do. Today, on Faculty Room, we're talking about teacher burnout. And then we're talking about 5 ways to get over it. Keep listening. I'm Mare. So I think for the first few episodes, I'm probably going to say the same kind of intro, just so you get to know me a little bit more. Most of these episodes are going to feature guests. They could be experts in the field. They can be teachers in the field. They can be anyone that wants to contribute to the conversation. And this is the point where I encourage you to download the Anchor app, connect with me. You can send me voice notes. You can send me messages. We can even have a conversation that I record for a future podcast. So download the Anchor app, find me and my podcast, make sure you favorite it, and let's get together that way, because that's usually how most of these episodes are going to go. In today's episode, I'm talking about teacher burnout. It seemed to be a hot topic on Twitter. I tweeted a lot about it this past week, and it conjured up a lot of reaction. A lot of reaction from teachers that were honest and were feeling that burnout. And it happens. In my last year of teaching, I taught with teachers that had been doing it for 2 years and teachers that had been doing it for 30. And there was a common thread in conversations that they were frustrated, tired, and at times looking to get out. Whether it was retirement or finding another job, they wanted to leave. So I thought I'd put together 5 tips to not only help teachers who feel burned out, but to help those that maybe are going along with the motions now, feel really great, but one day could use this advice too. It's hard to call myself an expert. I taught for 10 years. I taught in elementary school. I moved on to work for the Department of Education. I have 2 master's degrees. I'm not really an expert, but I was burned out. I left because I just couldn't do the job another day. And what I can tell you is I'm going to be as honest as possible because I have nothing to lose. Everything that I'm doing now is to help teachers feel less frustrated and more supported. So let's get into the top 5 tips. It's going to be a casual conversation. I'm going to try and keep my language classy. Every now and then a bad word slips out and I just can't freaking help it. Tip number 1, your PLN is everything. Now, I assume most of you know what a PLN means, your professional learning network. But to be honest with you, in my last year of teaching, I don't think I ever used that acronym, ever. And I'm not even sure that I really considered the people that were in my life a professional learning network. I wasn't on Twitter at all. The people that I talked to the most were my colleagues and my friends, but I didn't seek advice. I would vent some days, but not purposely. And I think part of your PLN, there's a purpose to the group of people you surround yourself with. And Twitter saved me. I didn't join Twitter until I moved on to the Department of Education. A lot of the work we did was through tweeting. So when I joined, I had no idea what I was doing. In fact, I had no idea how to even connect with other people. But within this year, I have made connections to educators not only here in America, but overseas as well. Around the world, I have had conversations with educators that were so insightful and so enlightening that I'm not sure that if I had had these conversations 2 years ago, that I wouldn't still be teaching today. So if you're not on Twitter, get on Twitter. There is a group of people that you will find that will be your daily cheering squad. And that's what I have. I have pockets of PLN everywhere on Twitter. And these people make me smile, make me laugh. A lot of them have become really close friends of mine. Your PLN is everything. So if you're not on Twitter, my advice is to get on Twitter. Pick a handle. If you want it first, just lurk. Look around. Follow me. Look at some of my followers and the people following that I follow. Click on some of them. Follow other people that you enjoy in your life. I follow politicians. I follow some celebrities because they tweet some cool stuff. I follow comedians. So go on Twitter and just creep around. Look at the conversations. Slowly build up your network. There are millions of people on Twitter and hundreds of thousands of educators that really can lend a voice to what you're saying. They can give you advice, and I just can't recommend it enough. If you're totally not a social media person, build a PLN within your school, within your district. Find teachers like you that want to talk, that need support. You need someone to talk to, whether it's a mentor or a teacher that's at the same level as you. You need to daily have some check-ins. Tell someone how you're feeling. Talk about frustrations and see if not only have they felt that way, but maybe that they can offer you some advice. So PLN, 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 it's everything. And I'm telling you from someone who has left the job, it's the number one thing that would have saved me. Number two, don't sweat the small stuff. And I really hated those books back in the day. But there's something to be said for that. By year 10, I wasn't worried as much about things that I was years 1 through 5. And I'm not talking about evaluations and observations and shit like that, because that will always worry you. But I wasn't worried so much about what my classroom looked like. I wasn't worried so much about perception. I felt more comfortable that my bulletin boards didn't have to be up on day one. I didn't have like cute flowers hanging from my ceiling. And those things are okay, but I've seen them stress teachers out too. I've seen the competition between cute rooms and these beautifully decorated classrooms where teachers are spending hundreds of dollars, even thousands, to compete with the teacher next door. By year 10, I wasn't doing that. And it wasn't that that doesn't lend itself to a classroom environment or it doesn't benefit some kids, because it totally does. But I've seen teachers burn out trying to keep up with the Joneses in their school, and it's a waste of time. There's other little things too. Rules that you create in your classroom, which I know, believe me, I tweeted about this and was ripped apart by it too. I'm not saying you don't have to have order or that there isn't some sort of agreement you have with your students. But if a kid forgets a pencil, give them a pencil. If a kid forgets their homework, let them do it the next day. And I don't say that to make you look like a pushover. I say it because you're going to stress out about things that at the end of the day and at the end of the school year and at the end of your career are not that freaking important. And we spend a lot of time trying to be rigid and to have a certain order to things because that looks good. But it creates a lot of stress. Trust me, it does. So look at some of the things that you currently do in your classroom, some of the things that you think that you have to do to have a super quiet classroom, that they have to walk down the hallway in a straight line, head behind head, with their little fingers over their lips, insinuating that they aren't saying a word. These are all these things that not only take time, but they're for someone else. That's not for you. Don't worry about those little things. Also, number three, you don't have to give 100% every day. And I read the best little blog post by John Harper, and I think he even insinuated like to hold like 10% back every day. He made such a good point. That's terrible advice that we gave teachers. Terrible. You have to give 100%. Give 100%. First of all, I don't even know how to define that. What is giving 100%? That changes from room to room and teacher to teacher. Do your best. Bring your best. Have great intentions every day to do the best by your kids. But if you're tired and if you're stressed, dial it back a bit. You don't have to be teacher of the year every single day. All you have to do is to know what your goal is, where the kids kind of need to be by the end of the week, and make a plan to get them there. You don't have to do elaborate projects to hang up outside. You don't have to impress anybody with these massive essays that your kids write that you're going to eventually have to grade. Just see what has to get done, what's best for your kids, but ultimately, what's best for you. The giving 100% bullshit advice is done. You have to give what you can give and never give away more than what that will make you mentally unhealthy, because that doesn't serve anybody. Number four, and I think this is a great piece of advice, although a coworker and one of my best friends my last year, he would totally disagree. Leave your building every day. Now, what I did was I went out to lunch every day. I loved it. I hated packing a lunch, so that was like not my thing. I didn't like sitting in the faculty room at lunch, even though I just love the name for a podcast. I needed to get out. Even if it was for 45 minutes, I needed to leave the building, have lunch with my friend, reset, and head back in. It was a good break to my day. I remember one time in towards the spring, a few of my friends and I, we would just go for a walk around the neighborhood, even on our prep. I didn't grade papers. I didn't sit there and stress about tomorrow's lesson. I went for a walk. I took a deep breath. These things, these little tiny nuggets of time during the day, are important. If you don't want to eat out every day, I remember packing my lunch when I worked at a new school, driving to Dunkin' Donuts, sitting in the parking lot, eating my sandwich, getting a cup of coffee, and that reset me. Listening to music in the car, something where I didn't feel like I was trapped. I think leaving the building is super important and it really helped me out. Last but not least, create a network within your building that's social and fun. I'm not saying these people have to be your best friend, but having friends and having a network and having a really good school culture is significant in wanting to keep your job and wanting to stay there. My last year of teaching, I actually worked in a new building. The admin in the building was not my cup of tea. In fact, it's why I left. But the human beings, the teachers I worked with, were some of the loveliest people ever. And we laughed and we organized potlucks. And during testing week, we had like an ice cream social. And they would go out to Broadway shows together and dinner and drinks. And you looked forward to seeing these people every single day. It's the same way, like when we were in high school and when you had a core group of friends and maybe your classes sucked, but you went there because you wanted to see your friends. It helps. There are people like you in your building. Even if you feel a little bit alone, find them. Organize something. Have a potluck. Put up a flyer in the faculty room and see what happens. Don't worry about the grumpies. You have them in every building. But there are more of you that want to do the social things, that want to hang out, do events, plan things together. Find them. If it doesn't already exist, start it on your own. It makes a huge difference when there are friends and colleagues and you're there for each other. And at these social events, talk. It's not about bashing. It's not about, venting in this negative way. It's about doing it in a healthy manner where you guys feel that you're not alone. All of these things help. These five tips, maybe some of you are like, ugh, I do that, I do that, I do that. But think about them in a different way. Maybe you do one, but not the other. Maybe you do three of them, but not two of the others. But in this advice, I want something to work for you. And if you connect with me on Anchor, leave me a message about things that you're doing in your school that have really helped. Have you created a group within your school that does activities? What is your PLN like if you're not on Twitter? So all of these little things are just small ways to make it better. I can't fix the admin in your building. I can't fix the standardized testing. I can't fix the observations, although, trust me, it's an upcoming podcast. But what we can do is look at what we can control. Ourselves, our reactions, and our relationships with others, and think little things that we can do to make the job just a little bit better, because it is a wonderful job, and there isn't a day that I don't miss it. So when I thought about this episode, I thought about the five things that could help me. I really hope that these things help you. Okay, end of the episode. Every episode, we're going to end with a Twitter roundup. These are the people that I think you should be following. They usually are going to be related to the episode. Today, I referenced John Harper. He is at John Harper. That is his handle. He wrote a book called My Bad about 24 educators who messed up and fessed up and did better. It's a wonderful book. I loved it. I relate, obviously. And then someone else who I think is super cool to follow, he's a teacher out of New York City. He's uber popular. He's been on The Ellen Show. He's super adorable. His name is Nicholas Ferroni. The reason I love him is he stands out as somebody who's progressive, political. He's a little on the edgier side for me, and that's what I'm into. I'm just into honesty. Let's talk about things that matter. Let's talk about hot topics, and he does. I'm inspired by him daily. He's still a teacher, and his content is great. So those are two. If you want to follow more, my best friends that I talk to every day that I met on Twitter are doing their thing. You'll notice who they are if you go on my page. I retweet them all the time. I have conversations with them all the time. They are my PLN. They are my lifeline. Start following some people on Twitter. Some of the hot topics that I brought up this week that generated a mixed response. One of them was on district PD and how in the former district I worked for, we would send two teachers to a conference and the goal was that they would come back and turnkey what they learned over 3 days into a 45-minute after-school special, and it amounted to none of us learning anything, no follow-up, no follow-through, and I thought it was absolute garbage. I was not calling conferences garbage. I was not calling that sort of PD garbage, but when a district is sponsoring professional learning, if you are not doing it for your whole staff with coaching and with following up, then don't freaking bother. That's my take. Please disagree with me. Put it on the thread. I live for it. Another thing I talked about this week was teachers pay teachers. Oh boy, that brought up a lot of backlash. I just think it's a lot of worksheets, and I felt I was spending more time on teachers pay teachers finding something. Then I just could have created something, and my kids knew some of the work was just absolute nonsense. And I'm not saying it's all nonsense on there, but I don't think teachers need to pay teachers. I think we need to be sharing more. But my opinion, you're allowed to have your own. Throw it up on the thread. It's a good one to read through. So that's what's happening on Twitter for this week. Some upcoming events coming up. If you are in the New York, New Jersey area, you need to be at EdCamp NORC this Saturday, April 6th. I live for this EdCamp. The creator, Julianne, she is a doll. She pours her heart and soul into this program, and it shows. Some of my best friends came from EdCamp NORC. We have a strong PLN. Come join us. I will be doing this session there. And for those of you who can't come, here's the session. I did it. I'm just going to throw a couple of cute slides behind me, but otherwise, this was it. You get the gist. But we will be tweeting from EdCamp NORC, so if you are not in the area, follow the hashtag and follow the conversation. Another event that's happening with myself and my friend at Evo Hannon. He is from Dubai. He is flying out to New York. This week, we are going to have a meetup on April 7th in New York City at the Ace Hotel in the lobby. The lobby is so cute, adorable. There's coffee. And it's kind of a hangout session, but we will be doing an engaged live chat from there. If you're in the area, join us. Both of these things are free. Both of these things are fun. And both of these things are good ways for you to talk, discuss, make some friends, and just make this job a whole lot easier. Thank you for tuning in today. Make sure to subscribe. You can find this podcast on all podcast listening platforms, including Spotify, Anchor, and Apple Podcasts. Thank you again for joining me. I hope this helped. Leave me some love in the comments section. Feel free to reach out to me on Anchor, and I will see you next week. This is Faculty Room.